people and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Day two here at SEMA, Shift and Stare. We got the whole gang back. I mean, we can't get rid of Dave. Dave from Man Seeks
Adventure.
I got nothing else to do. He keeps, you know, coming in here and getting on. But hey, everybody, if you're out there watching, Shift and Stare is available on iTunes. You can find us anytime. And I want to introduce the gang. Right next to me is Aaron Hagar.
Hello.
Yes, of the East Coast Hagars.
Right.
And then down in the end, we've got Dave Merrick.
Hey.
Now, Dave does Man Seeks Adventure, another podcast called Cars, Bars, Eats, and Adventures. But it really ends up us just drinking a whole lot. It's a good excuse.
That sounds like a good deal.
We get booze sponsors.
How do I get in on that?
It's the sloppy show. Yeah.
If anybody wants to join us, feel free.
And then right next to him is Matt DeAndrea.
Hello.
You might know him as the CarCast, Matt DeAndrea.
That's I'm the CarCast, Matt DeAndrea.
Not really. They know you as the Shift and Stare moderator.
Yeah, you're the moderator.
And then our guest right here, David Freiberger from Roadkill TV. You've seen him.
You've heard him.
You've heard him. Yes. Yeah.
I'm here. Happy felt to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, thanks for coming by.
And here we have Brad Fanshaw.
Oh, yeah. I forgot myself. I'm Brad Fanshaw from Bond Speed Wheels and Shift and Stare, Man Seeks Adventure. And other stuff. So, hey, I want to ask you. Now, we had you on stage with Larry Dixon once.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Our buddy Larry, who's here at the show somewhere.
I haven't seen him this week, but yeah, he and I text back and forth every once in a while about the crazy stuff going on. He's, of course, been on our Drag Week event. So, yeah, Larry's very cool.
He had a funny thing. I don't think I'm speaking out of school here, but he texted me the other day, and he said, and he goes, Brad, I'm trying to figure out how to describe myself. And I go, okay. And he goes, you're good with words. He goes, how would you describe myself? And I said, professional racer / land development.
Yeah.
And he goes,
stuntman. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do a lot of that land development and rent my buildings to a lot of the other racers. I go, you forgot about that?
Yeah. Three-time Top Fuel champion.
Yeah. Three times.
That's the way to describe it.
We've been to Barrett Jackson. Larry's been out there with us, and he gets a few cocktails in him, and I steal his ring.
Yes.
And I wear his ring, and he's like...
You can juggle him.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, that's enough. You didn't earn him.
Remember the year we had him and Ari Leyendijk, and we had IndyCar champion and drag racing champion rings on? That'll never happen again. We'll never earn those, that's for sure.
By the way, it only happens when you've got a few cocktails in you and you're up in the skybox at Barrett Jackson. Yes. The only way those rings come off those guys.
No, that happens all the time.
So,
really?
So,
what are you talking about?
So, Dave, what's going on with Roadkill here at the show?
How would I know?
Oh,
other, sorry, other Dave. The other Dave.
That's why I'm Freiberger.
That's why you're David.
Or David, yeah. You know, everybody knows 10,000 Daves, but there's only one Freiberger, I hope.
There you go.
Yeah, no, we got a lot going on. We got three of our cars here today. We've got our Vanishing Paint 70 Dodge Challenger.
Love that.
Love that movie.
Thank you. Yeah, Vanishing Point is the movie. Vanishing Paint.
Right.
Was that on purpose?
Okay.
Your names that you come up with is part of the fun.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we have a lot of fun with that. We also have the F-bomb Camaro here and Finnegan's Blasphemy.
Now, what does that one mean?
The F-bomb? Well, it's a Camaro, it's an F-body. I'm Freiberger, right?
Oh, it has no other meaning.
It goes fast. That's an F.
Oh, so there's totally no other sense. Double entendre. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Not at all. Well, what do you say when you drive the thing?
Freiberger.
Freiberger.
Freiberger. Yeah. And also Finnegan's Blasphemy, which is a 55 Chevy Gasser with a Mopar Hemi in it.
Blasphemy.
Yes, Blasphemy.
Blasphemy.
Exactly. And they announced yesterday that they're going to do a deal at the NHRA Winter Nationals where they're going to do a shootout with the Hoonigan guys.
Oh, really?
Which is going to be really cool.
That's very cool.
Well, I mean, speaking of shootouts, I'm just saying, Goldberg and I feel like there's a Roadkill CarCast rematch of drag racing. We went up to Roadkill and did some Hellcat drag racing with these guys. And, of course, Leah Pritchett, Matt Hagan, and myself, Christy Lee, and Richard Rawlings hit the wall.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Richard Rawlings hit the wall.
We're doing that again?
Leah was fastest, right? Or Matt? Leah was fastest, right?
No, Goldberg.
Goldberg won.
He won.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, Finnegan took out Leah, which was a shock.
No kidding.
Who took you out?
Everybody.
Finnegan.
Finnegan. Wow. Finnegan plowed through the field and then lost to Bill in the final.
Well, that was a golf cart that took you
Goldberg
out.
No, Goldberg beat me.
Yeah.
Goldberg beat me. And then in the finals, he went up against Finnegan.
Right.
Either way, you lost. Beat Finnegan. And we were all surprised by that because you guys do this stuff all the time. And we were kind of figuring out, I was like, I don't know if Finnegan's like much of a drag racer on street tires. Right? Like,
I think Goldberg just threatened him.
I will tell you the secret for those things, actually, is you take off in second gear.
I did that.
Yeah. That is the key. Although,
and
what
then
was
not
funny
hit the wall?
Is, and don't hit the wall.
Okay.
And don't spin the tires for 15 seconds at the starting line before you leave. And then we drove to NHRA national event, and we raced Hagen and Leah there as well. And she advised Hagen to take off in second gear on a nationally prepped drag strip. And so we won.
Nice.
Yeah. And Hayden was actually irritated.
Yeah.
They're actually drag racers at core, even driving 12-second cars.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's great.
I've seen Hagen. I met him. You don't want to irritate
Matt,
him. He's a big boy. He's a lot of protein.
He's healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's always been a big boy, but he owns a monster guy.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
he's
what are you trying to say, Dave?
He's a huge dude, man.
At Roadkill, Goldberg and Hagen went over and like shook hands, and it was like that scene in Predator where they're got the two giant arms, and it was like, what's going on here with that? It was a fantastic
so much
event.
Fun.
Thanks
for
having
us. We're talking about the drag race that they had with the Hellcats back at the Detroit event.
Oh, yeah, that's the one where Richard Rawlings hit the wall?
Yeah. Let's bring that up a few more times.
Hit the wall.
It's Roadkill Nights. We've done it 4 years in a row. We shut down Woodward Avenue in front of M1 Concourse in Pontiac, Michigan. We have drag racing on the street. And the reason Matt and Leah are there is they do burnouts with their Nitro funny car and dragster.
Nice.
It's just... It's
that's epic. Cool.
Yeah. And Dodge is the supporter of all of that, and they've given us the nod to do it again. So.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll tell you, the timing...
What's that, Dave? Just a minute. Sure, I'll come. No problem. Just let me know.
No, you can be invited this time. Yeah, Matt will have to give up his seat.
Then we can tease you for hitting
the wall. He lost anyway.
I don't know how this planned out, but we went. We did the drag racing event. It was fantastic. And as soon as we were done, it rained so hard. It just came down.
Oh, man, what timing.
Not a drop while we were racing. Not that Richard Rawlings would have mattered, but...
What happened
right after? If you haven't heard, he hit the wall.
Yeah, Richard Wallings.
Are you just doing
Richard
that?
Richard Wallings, I like that.
Is that why?
I'm going to have to see this guy in about 3 hours.
Right?
You're not going to upload this podcast before then, are you?
Outtakes.
Right.
You can be here.
Thank you.
And then it just came down so hard. And like, we couldn't even leave. We were like trapped and they're trying to just... And we're like, hell, we're going to have to just run in the rain. But, man,
you didn't even show up to like 5 minutes before we have to run.
Oh, that's very mad.
It was the worst, like, travel day of our lives. And we're just, you know, they just canceled the whole flight the night before. They're like, we're not
flying. You can't get there from here. Yeah.
Yeah, we're like...
I remember your text. Like, you were like, I'm never going to make it.
The pilot didn't show up. I'm like, it's
Is
LA.
That important?
You can't call somebody here to go fly a plane? I feel like there's enough people here that can fly a plane here, right? Like
Would think.
Didn't happen, but it was a great event, and it was definitely fun to do. I was able to see more of it, but I missed half of it, and then we were gone. But it was great.
The amount of permits that we have to pull in order to do that thing is crazy. Because one of the greatest things is between the staging lanes and the drag strip, the train comes through.
Oh, nice.
There's railroad tracks, and the train actually comes through while you are racing.
Oh, man.
And so we have to get permission from the train company and water and power because we race over manhole covers. And, of course, the city and the sheriff.
You could get a charger and do the, Dirty Mary and Crazy Larry?
Yeah.
The train hit him at the end? Yeah. You know?
That's right. That's kind of how it goes. The end of that movie is my life. That actually describes my career. Is the way that charger smashes
Dirty
into
Mary.
The train at the end of that movie.
Dueling Blacktop had a train also.
So, I saw on one of your posts, we went back and forth, you were doing something with a front-mounted blower. What is that going on?
No, I was actually in Dave Shutton's shop looking at all of his cool old stuff. You know, he restores old Ed Roth cars and things like that. He's a 60s fanatic.
Really
and he
cool.
just happened to have that Potvin blower set up on the small block Chevy. For those of you who don't know what this is, it's a regular root supercharger like a GMC blower. But instead of being on the top of the engine, it's driven off the front of the crankshaft. And the blower is in front of the engine. And it was really designed for land speed racing to keep the profile of the car low. But there was also also a lot of dragsters that ran them in the 60s.
Brad has one, and you have one at the
Yeah, I've got the original Moon Eyes dragster, yeah. Got the Potvin blower in front of the Hemi, the 392 Hemi.
They made them for that, too.
And it's so cool with the injector, the Hillborn injector sticking off the side and everything. And
do you know the story of Chuck Potvin, who actually invented that thing?
No.
He was a guy, he went off to World War II, came back, had nothing to do, and he was like, you know, I think I can pour some aluminum in my backyard. And he just started making speed parts, and he came up with this blower drive, and he didn't want to deal with the technical service of selling it, and so he licensed it to Dean Moon.
Wow. I've seen all the molds and everything. It's really cool. And Larry Erickson, who, a very famous designer, he designed Cadzilla for us at Boyd's.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, Smoothster and Alumacoupe. He built his Roadster and put a front-mounted blower on it. And I remember he was trying to scratch his head and figure out how to make it all work. And,
yeah.
Because when you do it in an enclosed car, it's a little harder.
Was that one all-wheel drive?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. I remember. We had it on the cover of Hot Rod when he finally finished it. That thing was being built for a decade plus. Did it start at Boyd's place?
No.
No, it never was at Boyd's. It was always back there, but he'd come out. Because, I mean,
it started in his garage.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
We'd be in his garage, and then he had the Tudor. But literally, the Tudor's gone now, too. But literally, that thing was just rails and a Potvin blower.
A 32 Chevy Roadster, right?
Yeah.
And he had that thing sitting there forever, and then he just had the motor mocked up, like trying to figure out what the grill was going to be and how to do it, you know, because he did the Nerf bar in front of it. But yeah, he was like...
And he was a big-time designer. It is really cool to me to see how many of the people who work at the OEs are legit car guys. It's amazing.
Well, when we were doing a
Yeah, they're all kind of, like, not that cool, though.
Well, when we were doing a Alumacoupe at Hot Rods by Boyd, he would fly out on a Friday night red eye. He'd work all day at the shop, Saturday and Sunday, and fly out on the red eye.
Yeah.
And I go, so what do you do at Cadillac, Larry? And he goes, door handles.
Oh, man. You know,
he doesn't.
Larry is a phenomenal designer.
He went to an awesome school.
The Alumacoupe, you remember when that thing was first put together. We put it in Hot Rod. Remember it was the first Hot Rod on the moon?
Yes.
With the astronaut guy standing
next to it? I have those transparencies.
So I was new on the Hot Rod staff. This was about 94, I'd guess.
Yep.
And I had to move the thing into the studio. Do you remember that studio at the old Peterson Publishing
Building?
The
one next door in that little building on the hill, yeah.
Exactly. It had the gun magazines upstairs. Those guys were wackos. They were always walking around with rifles in the office. And underneath it, it was actually an old Howard Hughes, like, film storage vault,
right?
And it became the photo studio, and I remember driving into the place and high centering the thing on this bump and going, oh, I'm gonna get killed, and looking under it later and realizing nothing happened. But yeah, that was one of my first experiences as a Hot Rod staffer with a big high dollar killer car.
Good. That's all right. I drove it and it caught on fire, so don't worry about it. Yours was minor.
You got skills. I had to develop that over years, you know. Now I can do that to anything.
Yeah, catching on fire. So,
yeah, I mean, now you're supposed to do it. I feel like that's kind of your job.
That's kind of my job. You know, failure is my success.
Yeah.
That's really kind of the way I look at it. That's what we do on the Roadkill Show.
Makes life interesting, except with marriages. So talk about 32s. You have a new build that you debuted too, right?
Oh, thanks for checking that out. Yeah, it's a Model A. Yeah. It's a very cool 30 Model A on deuce rails.
30, yeah.
It's a regular old small block Chevy program. The greatest thing about this car is I'm pretty sure it has original paint. It's black, and you look at all the chips, and the paint is thin. There's nothing else under it, and I can't find that it's ever been repainted, but it's been pinstriped, and there's a date on the back that says 4-1-62, April Fool's Day, 1962.
Wow. Nice.
So
there's an easy check on that, you know.
Tell me.
You lick it, and then check it for lead.
That's usually what I do with Matt. He and I will do that after the show.
We've been following that on your Instagram.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, you've been posting it. It's been good. It's been interesting.
Yeah, it's a super average car, but for some reason, it's one of those things that has the look. You know, with cars, I often am not a guy who's like, I really like 66 Chevelles. It's more like, I like that 66 Chevelle or that Model A. Cars that just have the right kind of vibe.
Right.
Are you saying that
it's proportion and stance for every car?
Yeah, because you can take any car and mess it up.
Yeah, yep. And character.
I mean, you can.
I can, guaranteed.
I didn't mean you specifically.
Stance, and I think color, and there's a certain attitude. You know, this thing has that wedge cut in it, so that, you know, it's got that real 60s kind of rake, and it's cool.
Good looking.
So I heard a rumor that next year here at SEMA, there's going to be a pop-up store, Freiburgers.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Roadkill for our burgers.
That, ever.
You've never heard that? Roadkill?
Nah, he's going to sell hoodies. Burgers, yeah. He's a hoodie model as well.
So
yes.
Always Instagram is a hoodie model as well.
I did get considerable flack for starting to sell my own hoodies and modeling myself.
We'll be buying one of those, too, by the way.
The F-Bomb Camaro that you have, I'm a fan of, and very early on in the CarCast days, we had that car... on our show.
Oh, that's right.
You weren't there for some reason.
No, it was you, Corolla, and Tom Nelson.
Tom Nelson brought it over.
Yeah.
And I invited Tom over to talk engines. He's like, should I bring a car? I was like, yeah, what do you got? He's like, well, I don't know. He's like, Freiberger's busy. He's out of town. Why don't I bring his car? And I was like, sure. It was fantastic to see.
Hey,
have you guys done some upgrades and stuff to it?
You say, have we done some new stuff to
it? Yeah, you've done some, like, yeah, refreshing up the paint, but...
We did, because that thing, it's 14 years old. That's when it was first built, which is mind-blowing to me. And it's gotten just dings and dents and overspray on it, and somebody ran their motorcycle into the side of it, so...
Battle we just
so where do you keep it?
Dents and stuff. It lives at Nelson's place. Oh. I think you take better care of it, but he's, like, you know, busy. But they did take care of it. They fixed all the dents, touched it in, which was a miracle they were able to match the color and texture, and re-cleared the entire thing. So it looks better than it did when we first put it together. And we also put Nelson's mirror image turbos on it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Have you
those
seen that
great
deal? It's so that you can make all your plumbing symmetrical, because right, normal turbochargers, the scroll
same
goes
part,
one
yeah
way, and you got to flip them around.
Looks weird.
Run dual. So it's got that, and we just converted it to Holley EFI.
Nice.
Oh,
wow,
that's
cool.
Those mirror image turbos are great. I think he works with Turbonetics with those guys over there. And Tom was telling me about them, and then at some point down the line, I went over to... the Turbonetics tour, and they're like, oh, this is Tom's palette of turbos. Just like, he must be moving quite a few of those things.
Well, yeah, it's a great idea. And he was first to market with them. He didn't invent it. You know, you can look at some old diesel turbos that have the scroll going the other way, but he brought it into the aftermarket. And that's part of the reason why on the brand new JE Masters of Motors Award that debuted at SEMA this year, we gave him a trophy for best power adder engine.
Yeah. All right. We have a set of the mirror image turbos. I'm not sure what we're going to put them on yet, but we'll find
your
something.
Your Mustang.
No.
Yeah.
No, then it'll never get done.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it's not going to anyway.
No, we might be building like some other like wacky monster truck. Our guy in the shop, Sean, wants to build some like 70s Suburban, something very square and giant. And he's like, all it needs now is an LS with mirror image turbos.
Everything
and,
does, right?
And I was like, all right.
Everything needs an LS. That's what
everything needs an LS.
Aaron, is that wagon yours that I've seen, that yellow Woodside wagon?
Yeah, so I picked up a 56 wagon a couple of years back, and I was using it as a flip car, and Dad said, hey, you still got that yellow wagon? I said, yeah. He goes, well, let's use it for the rum company. Can you make it into a Woody? And I went, sure, they never made a 56 Chevy Woody wagon.
Which would
wagon
be the point.
Yeah. So I used all repurposed teak, and it's become like a superstar.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, it's got a tired 350 in it with an old Pete Jackson gear drive, the noisy one.
Of course.
But I think for a very short time, they made a noisy, 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 noisy one.
That's what you
that's
got.
Just a wore out Pete Jackson.
Yeah, that's the Pete Jackson without oil.
So you need the twin turbo LS motor, clearly.
There you go.
I keep telling Dad, we need to put a big motor. He's like, oh, no, it's fine. I don't want to spend any money. I'm like, you don't drive it. I do. I drive that thing to Arizona.
And
I've driven it to
LA. And I see you driving around in the Ferrari.
Oh,
he doesn't
the
want to spend
512
any money, but he'll give you the keys to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been driving.
You got to convince Dad that Ferrari cost him money. This one, he can write it off.
Yeah, exactly.
Company, right?
Yeah. But that Boxer, so this was the good son I was. I got to take that to prom.
Nice.
Back in 1988, I drove that car to prom. So, yeah, any chance I get to drive those cars, I make sure I honor that.
That's way neat.
But, yeah, I would love to talk to you about doing something to that. It's got an old school, you know, Camaro front clip, but it's
that's
tired.
Actually helpful. It is old school,
yeah,
but it's helpful.
Is. But I got to tell you, driving it
stock.
Yeah, but driving it to Quail and Concourse, you know, driving on the greens.
Now you know how I feel every moment of my automotive life.
Oh, but he's got a full bar in the back. So
that was
just
my next statement.
It's just glass and bottles clanking everywhere.
Some red rum in God there. Forbid I get pulled over for open container. I got 24 bottles in the back.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
They're corked, man. What do you mean? And whatever happened to that Jeep? It was a panel wagon. Jeepster.
Oh, I had
that thing was so cool.
It was so great. I had this 67 Jeep panel truck that I had bought from my buddy Rick Payway, who's the editor at JP Magazine. It was a really rare military model that it was a radio truck. But we messed around with it. Basically, the audience didn't connect to the thing, and so I just sold it, and it's going to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, wow. That's what you posted. Oh,
perfect.
Man.
Yeah, and I've got another vehicle, a 73 Suburban in Finland.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy.
You're becoming a global world car used car salesman.
Yeah, right. Now, I can't keep anything in the U.S.
Anything on your radar now that the SEMA crunch is done? What's your next step? Anything you can talk about?
Well, we're doing Roadkill next week, where we've got a Mazda pickup that has an Olds 455 in the bed that's on a Toronado transaxle driving the rear wheels.
Yeah.
And we bought this from a guy who's like, dude, it does wheelies and runs tens. We pulled it out of the driveway, and it wouldn't do a burnout. I'm like, this thing doesn't run tens in the eighth mile.
Downhill.
So, yeah. We ended up putting nitrous on it and blowing the thing up. So in the next episode, we put it all back together with a tunnel ram, two nitrous systems.
Oh, man.
Holly carbs and stuff, and we're going to try and make it run 10.
You know, the easy way. You did it the easy way, right?
Right. Exactly.
That sounds like it's going back to the old Street Freak days when the magazines would have the Street Freak section.
So you remember, like, around the time I met you when you were doing Boyd's and everything, the era then was, man, 70s and 80s stuff is the worst.
It was, stay away from it.
Everything was smoothie and, you know, one color. And now, I saw this coming, but the 70s Street Machine thing is back.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
and everything
totally.
That I ridiculed in 1991 is now like, this is great. And so, that's
but
coming
they
back.
A name on it.
This
day
is why they moved
cars.
Him from Hot Rod to Roadkill, because they're like, oh, we can't have you do Hot Rod anymore. You bashed all those cars with the painted, everything's yellow.
Yeah.
Everything's one color, the engine, the door handles. Well, pretty much a lot of shit Brad built back in the day.
Yeah, you know.
Built? Nice.
All that stuff.
Built? Wait, past tense?
Built?
Hey.
Hey, I love all that stuff, because it's always what you grow up with. The car that sat in the high school parking lot that you couldn't afford and you wanted, and quite frankly, we all flipped through the pages of Hot Rod and Car Craft and went, wow, look at that, and then when you get behind the curtain and you see that, oh, well, it didn't really run that well. It just looked good on the pages, you know?
I remember when CarCraft did a story where they gathered all of the big pro street cars of the time and made them race each other, and they all could not fall out of a tree.
Yeah.
It was the worst.
They look great around the fairgrounds, you know?
Yeah.
Well, but I think Brad's waiting for a 30-year circle to come around on some of this stuff, right?
30 years. I'm only 20.
Only Baldwin Motion, nothing else.
Hey, Baldwin Motion, don't be talking bad about my Baldwin Motion.
I want to ask you about one of your other shows that you do that I really enjoy, is your Engine Masters show.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
We're not talking to that, Dave. We're talking to Freiburger. I love it. Is it just a YouTube show? I mostly see it on YouTube.
It's on Motor Trend as well. And it is just me and my buddies asking questions about engines and proving or disproving theories on the dyno.
But it's kind of quick and to the point. Okay. Like, that's what I like about it. It just starts off and you're like, it's you and you're like, hey, we've got a 347 Ford. We're going to boost it and boost it and boost it and see when it pops.
Until parts fall out.
Yeah. And then we're going to give you the result. And I'm like, great, let's get to it. I want to watch that. And
epic version of that is we just did a 6-liter LS motor, Gen 4 one, that stock bottom end, we made 1,560 horsepower with.
Wow.
Right.
Holy moly.
No,
I don't recommend it personally, but it's a good circus act.
Yeah.
Huge fuel tank.
But by the time you put load in tires
still,
and
junk falls
crap,
out.
Everything's going to fall out.
Yep. Wow. I mean, guys run them at 1,000 horsepower down the track zillions of times. 1,500, 30 pounds of boost is an ungood program.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a grenade.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though.
Anyway, how often do you do that show? What's the schedule for something like Engine Masters?
It's every month. I shoot the thing 3 times a year. We shoot like 4 or 5 episodes in a week, so it's one per day. And it's just, it's a riot to do it. I think my favorite episode is one where we put a Chevy on the dyno and wanted to answer the question, do you lose power by dinging your headers? Because everybody puts in a set of headers and it doesn't clear the starter, it doesn't clear the tie rod. So we started denting these headers and it wasn't doing anything. By the time we were done, we had sledgehammered all 8 pipes in about 3 places and ultimately lost like 12 horsepower.
No kidding.
But the first 10 or 11 dings did nothing.
So I was okay all through the 70s.
That's a questionable statement.
No, dude.
We know Dave wasn't good through the 70s.
Yeah. So what do you do in your off time? Yeah.
And what's going on with Hot Rod? I know you're so busy with the other brands with Roadkill and Engine Masters, yeah. but you've had such a long career with the Hot Rod brand. It's still there. It's not gone. It's still happening. We love the magazine. Like, I still get the book in the mail.
My career has been on an accidental path because I was the editor of Hot Rod for 13 years. And we just started doing these videos on YouTube, which became stuff that was getting 4 and 7 million views. And now I don't touch the magazine. I only do the video stuff. I'm lucky enough to still be able to write a column. So that's it.
I read it.
Yeah. That's the compromise.
On the toilet. Yeah. That's right.
Well, hey, guys, I want to thank all these people who have come to just see our show. They're not waiting in line to see someone else. They just came by to see Ship
so
and Steer.
So, Mario, tell us a little bit about your indie win.
Yeah, exactly.
So, now, I want to ask you kind of a take-back question, because you talk about how when you moved out and you started with Hot Rod and, you know, with the magazines and everything, did you ever in your wildest dreams think that you'd be being paid to build the cars that you're building and having fun like you are going out doing these videos?
No, our life is ridiculous what we're actually allowed to do for fun on camera. And the other thing is, you know, you line up 10 guys, you don't pick me to be on TV. You know, my chiseled physique does not exactly mesh with your mainstream television. So it's very, very weird to do what I do.
Well, it's because you did it from your heart and your soul when, like you said, you started doing them on the side, and people connected with it. They went, God, if I could do that, and they're living vicariously through David Freiberger.
Well, and the big thing, I think, has always been, we don't fake anything. Yeah. We work on all the cars ourselves, you know, and stuff goes wrong, and we just air it. And I think people connect with that, because they're like, that was legit.
That's good TV.
Yeah.
Authenticity. Yep. Authentic.
Yeah. I know it is, because, you know, there is the thing where, you know, if everything goes right and everything goes perfect and it's a cut and, oh, let's come in and redo that shot. No, it's great, because that's what everybody lives. I mean, you know, when they drop in the distributor wrong and the thing backfires through the carb. And
that's never happened to me.
Blows your face off.
Oh, am I the only one that's ever happened to you? And then there's those things that happen where I can only relate to something that happened to me where, years ago, I had like an Excel, that I dropped in, and I didn't know the shaft was broken. And we could not get that thing to time up. It was just nothing. Then we finally took it back and found out that it was broken. But that stuff happens to you on the show.
Every single day.
Yeah. Yeah. And you find out that, wow, it wasn't just me. Yeah. You know?
Snap a head bolt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Something. Everything.
The difference is we have to figure out how to fix it during the production schedule of like 5 to 7 days, which is why we end up butchering so much stuff. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
The worst thing that can happen on this show is that Aaron's phone doesn't come in right when he's calling in.
There's where the name F-bomb came when you're working on this.
Yeah, we throw that around a lot.
Exactly, I bet you did.
So Dave, why don't you throw in here? Come on, you're a big style designer from Honda and
Acura.
Yeah,
one of those OEM guys.
Yeah, why don't you throw something in here?
How's your door handle game?
Oh, yeah, I don't do that.
Doing a lot of...
No, you know, that's kind of a wives' tale that, you know, you start at GM and you have to do door handles and hubcaps. But Larry never did. Larry jumped right into the Seville. I mean,
he did a Cadillac door handle. He told me
he has, but what you do is you... Like,
he did the car around it as well.
I did taillights for the NSX. Was my first like week at work. I was doing the Accord wagon and taillights for the NSX. So I did kind of that thing, but I was also doing a real car, like a whole thing. But yeah, I think for your show, anytime you get, if you look out from a designer standpoint and you see what people are doing on these shows and go, wow, that's stupid or that just doesn't look good or that aesthetically is wrong. And it's all what you talked about earlier. It's stance, proportion, the rake, all that stuff. You maybe don't realize what it is, but there's something about it, and you go, dude, that
thing's perfect.
And
wheels are super critical.
Yeah, how they sit.
Yeah.
And they stay on.
The colorways.
Right.
So then the colorways become, that was, you know, Brad, I'll toot his horn a little bit, but that's kind of what he brought to Boyd was some of that colorways, not just doing a monochromatic car, but actually adding in some you know, two-tone and things like that. But
monochromatic car, you mean you were around the black and white days?
Yeah. Yes, he was.
All primer.
Well, in the silent days.
Of course, I grew up fascinated by anything that was a show rod, show car, or show thing, because that's what I drew, and then I got a job doing it. But, you know, when I finally got to Art Center, it turned out that I got to know, you know, Harry Bradley, and I got to know everybody. You know, Ed Newton and I are great friends. And I think, dude, these are all these guys that I'd write a letter to. Yeah. And now Tom Daniel sends me Christmas cards, you know, stuff like that. So,
well, you dated yourself with that one.
But that's the hood. So I love the authenticity of your show and just the way you do that stuff, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Is there something you haven't got to build yet that you say it's on my list? I gotta check it off at some point.
We're trying to put a Hemi and a Gremlin.
I was going to say,
Gremlin,
you know,
earlier.
I wanted to do that same thing.
Yeah, my grandpa had a Gremlin. He used to threaten me with it when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
You do does that. It have to be a Levi's edition?
No, ours is not a Levi's edition, but that would be much better if it was.
That would. Oh, you know, we talk about that on CarGast all the time. We make our producer bring it up on the screen. Adam's like, there's a Levi's edition of this
That's
car.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
there is a Pierre Cardin Javelin.
I think that Charlie Eddy painted that the Levi's Gremlin. But you could enter it in the Hot Wheels 50-year thing.
Yeah, but then you have to have a Levi's Gremlin. So there's
No, enter the Hemi Gremlin.
The Hemi Gremlin.
Gremlin.
Well, Mopar's got a 1,000-horsepower crate engine.
A elephant, they call it. 426-inch basic Hellcat, 1,000-horsepower motor.
Gosh.
Yeah, mind-blowing.
It'd be perfect in a Gremlin.
Gremlin, I love it. I think
Well, we wanted to put in a second-gen Hemi, a 426. But the blocks for those things have been non-existent for 2 years.
Can't find them. You need a Donovan.
Which is a 417 early Chrysler.
Yeah.
All right, real quick, let me tell you guys about Continental Belts. You've heard us talk about this before. You know, if you think of all the weird things that you find in cars, I'm not talking about French fries and melted crayons. I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, the kind of stuff that makes you just wonder about folks. Well, another thing that'll make you wonder, but in a good way, are Continental Belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE in tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. They're also OE in a majority of BMWs and VWs. Now, Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. This is that serpentine belt that's on every single car now. It's their OE technology series, belts that are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has an OE technology series multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. So listen, you get enough surprises working on your cars and trucks already. A belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with the Continental OE technology series multi-V belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit oetechnologyseries.com.
Hey, everybody. Now, Matt, I know we're here at SEMA, and we've got a lot going on, but we wanted to talk about Amsoil and bring in one of our Amsoil Race Face interviews. So I called up Corin Todd, who's not out here in Vegas with us, but he is in New York. Corin, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys doing out there?
We're doing awesome. We've got, these great shows. We've got a stage here at SEMA, and it's allowing us to see all kinds of people that appreciate racing and cars and, you know, bikes, everything. I mean, if you've ever been to – have you ever been to SEMA, Corin?
No, I've seen about it, dreamed about it. One day I plan on making it. It looks like a heck of a show for sure.
Yeah, Matt, his eyes have been glazed over all week. He can hardly even see straight because he keeps seeing all these cool things that he could put on his Fox Body Mustang.
Yeah, there's a lot of that out there. So, Corin, I understand you're doing some racing in the snow. Tell us about that. Tell us, for those that aren't familiar with the sport that much, what are you racing?
So we take your average snowmobile and we beef it up and put heavy duty suspension and deep tracks on it. I mean, they're built from the factory for the race department special, but they're pretty close to a consumer sled. They're just a little bit stronger built to withstand the stuff that we put them through all winter. And it's basically like motocross, but on a 500-pound sled. You know, it's real rough tracks, you know, bar banging racing. And, it's tough on the sleds, tough on us, but boy, is it fun.
Now, I've watched some of this on YouTube and like that. And, you know, I grew up racing motocross, and I never was a snowmobile guy because I'm going to admit it, I don't like the cold. But, And but, you know, when I think of snowmobiles, you know, I've known people that have been into them. Yeah, they jump them a little bit. But you guys, I mean, Matt, did you watch anything of this on YouTube yet? Because these...
Yeah, I've seen some of it. It's just it's pretty intense what you guys are doing out there. But I guess that's sort of the natural progression of motorsports is things just get more and more intense over time.
And was this an X Games sport originally?
Yeah, we've been to X Games several years. You know, unfortunately, the X Games has taken snowcross out of their agenda.
Those bastards.
that's right. We got replaced by snow bikes, so that now they're taking dirt bikes and putting tracks on them. So it's still a cool concept. It's just I'm not into that. I don't have the time for it and would like to focus my efforts on the sleds.
Well,
tell us a little bit about the sled itself. Like, what are we using for a power plant?
That's what I wanted to know. Yeah,
the turbo. Yeah, give us some of a breakdown on what some of those sleds are like.
We're a naturally aspirated 600cc. Polaris is carbureted yet. The other pictures are EFI, single pipe, and due to our rules. We can only run, you know, we can put a different silencer on our sled, but we must stick to OEM spec cylinders, heads, the pipe itself. All has to be OEM parts to keep, you know, for one, our sport is, you know, still it's growing, but, you know, it keeps the cost down there for a while. We were building these wicked mod sleds, you know, twin pipes and everything like that. And the cost of operation for these race teams got driven, you know, sky high. So to keep costs down and to keep racing better, we went to the OEM rules, and it's done wonders for our sport. You know, the privateers are able to afford to compete against the factory teams now. I know, case in point, I was a privateer last year, and that's the only way I was going to be able to do it was being following those rules. And I'm glad, you know, I think it's really good for the long term of our sport.
Now, with the X Games taking it out, you were a previous bronze medal winner in 2016, I read. What is the
Correct.
Circuit? What's the circuit now? I mean, you know, it's you're not going to be racing in Phoenix, and you're not going to be racing in Palm Springs. So what's the circuit for snowcross in 2019, let's say?
So the circuit is called the ISOC, ISOC, the Snowcross Series. And we travel. We start our series in Duluth, Minnesota, right at Spirit Mountain. And then we travel, you know, our next stop is Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
That makes sense.
And then from there we go back to Minnesota to Canterbury. And then between Minnesota and New York are the rest of our stops. You know, we have 8 weekends, 17 points rounds, and we have two cash events throughout the series. One is a part of our series. They kind of do a Friday night dominator, which is sponsored by Anzoil. It's for 10 grand to win. That's head-to-head racing. You know, that's a real fun way to start the season and get our blood pumping and, you know, cool check at the end of the night. So it's a long series spread out from Thanksgiving weekend all the way to the middle of March, and we're from New York to Wyoming across the snow belt.
Now Matt, you know,
yeah.
I told you, and you know, I've said it all the time, I like warm weather. I like the sun. I like the beach. What is the coldest race you've ever had? What's the coldest temperature you've ever snowcrossed in?
So I think in Ironwood, Michigan, a couple of years ago, we raced there. It was like -24 actual air temperature. And then we had like 30 to 40 mile an hour wind gusts on top of that.
Oh, man, when you bang into somebody at that temperature, it's really got to hurt, man.
Oh, yeah. You know, the plastic is brittle. Your hands, you can't feel your hands. There's almost nothing you can do to keep that kind of temperature away from your hands. And your hands are everything. You got to be able to hang on.
No kidding.
It almost sounds unreal, those temperatures.
Yeah, that sounds...
Do that. It's amazing that you choose to do this, but I can see the passion behind it, like sort of the adrenaline that drives you to do these things. Tell us about this team you're working with now. You signed with a new team, this past year, earlier in the year, and you guys are gearing up. Like you said, you're going to be starting around Thanksgiving, but you guys are kind of stepping up your game, it looks like, and freshening up the look and, you know, getting ready for a big, you know, 18, 19 year, right?
Yeah. This season is looking really good for our team. I signed with Judnick Motorsports, kind of the flagship team of Polaris. And, you know, these guys, they run a professional operation here, doing an awesome job getting our sleds prepped for the year. We're actually starting testing this coming weekend. So we'll be testing for Duluth and for the rest of the season from here on out. And, you know, couldn't be more thankful to be a part of this program. You know, they treat me like family, and, you know, I know they're going to give me their best, and, you know, I'm going to do the same for them. It's, you know, one hand washes the other, and I think the fit for me on this team is going to be really good. They work really hard, and, you know, I'm a hard worker myself, I feel, and, you know, I'm just super excited to be a part of this and to continue my career with a team of this caliber.
That's great. Yeah, I got one last question before we got to go, Corin. Now, at you know, I've been to lots of motorsports events, lots of motocross, auto racing, and guys are standing there at the fence line with a cold beer. I would imagine that at your events, they're standing there with something nice and warm and some pocket warmers.
Yeah, actually, the fans and stuff, you'd be surprised how much alcohol gets drank in the stands, even if it's zero out. You know, I think they kind of use that to keep them warm. You know, I kind of heard over the years that a little whiskey or something to warm you up. So I think that's what they go for. The alcohol is definitely consumed heavily in the stands. You know, for us racers, it's water or tea or something like that, you know, during the day. But you know, for the fans, you know, the beer tents are definitely alive and well, for sure.
Fans will always find a reason to drink, Matt.
Brad does another podcast called Man Seeks Adventure, where he and his co-hosts just go out and drink, and I kind of feel like there needs to be a Man Seeks Adventure. There needs to be a Man Seeks Adventure event at one of your events. So let's see if the Man Seeks Adventure people can handle the cold.
As long as
that's
we,
right.
Yeah, I don't know if we can handle the cold, but we could give it a try. But Corin, where can our listeners find you online and info about Snowcross?
Instagram, Facebook. I don't do much on Twitter, but just look me up, Corin Todd, number 36 on a Polaris. You know, follow my fan page, like my Instagram. And then to follow the Snowcross series, you know, just go online, snowcross.com, snow without a W, take the W off of snow. And you can follow the whole series. They got a YouTube channel. They stream it live online, which is a really, really awesome way to watch our racing. And then you can catch us on CBS Sports almost weekly throughout the season. So,
oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Lots of ways to follow us, guys. And, you know, hopefully we get some people watching.
As you said, the Amsoil Snowcross National is coming up. It's in Duluth. It's November 23rd through 25th. I guess that's the first race of the season, and our friends at Amsoil are kicking it off. So definitely check that out and watch Corin out there freeze his ass off and break records.
That's right. Hey, Corin, thanks for
this year.
Perfect, man. Thanks for coming on another one of our Amsoil Race Face series. And Matt and I, we're back to the aisles of SEMA and doing daily podcasts here at the SEMA Show. Thanks, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys, if you like this show, you're going to love the new Underdog Sports Network on Podcast One from Chris Horridel. Check out all the exciting shows on the Underdog Sports Network every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. So, cool.
Sorry, other guests showed up here.
So, Dave, you got a tight schedule? You want to stick around for the rest of the show?
Oh, yeah, I can hang if you don't mind.
Cool. No,
I might as well mooch the whole program.
Yeah, why not?
Absolutely.
Hey, it's a long ways to walk down here. You might as well get a little sit down for a bit. But, hey, we're introducing our next guest. She's going to join us. Sarah Price, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We are fantastic. We're sitting down for a change, and we've got They actually put mics in front of us.
Oh, nice. This is going to be entertaining always with you guys, huh?
Dangerous.
You'll have to yell.
Dangerous.
You want to introduce yourself and what you do? Because you do a lot.
Yeah. So I'm Sarah Price, and I race off-road things because I started off in two wheels in professional motocross and then transferred over to UTVs, and now I'm in trophy trucks.
Yeah.
So we're taking over Baja this year. It's been an adventure.
Go you girls.
Yeah.
You like the dirt.
I do. I love the dirt.
Dirty girls.
I wasn't going to say it. You know what?
Hey, Days from Man Seeks Adventure. You can get away
That's
with that
right.
stuff.
No.
I'm surprised you don't have a beer in your hand.
I ordered one, but nobody brought it.
Oh, you can order them from here?
Duh.
If you're loud enough.
It's a delivery service, too.
Yeah.
So give us a rundown. I mean, you said you started with motocross. What did you ride?
So I raced motorcycles, so motocross and supercross. I started on 50s and then just climbed through the ranks and turned professional right when I turned 16. And ever since then, just kind of just went with it. And did
what was
X
your
games.
Preference? Kawasaki, Yamaha?
Oh, Honda. Kawasaki for sure, oh, yeah. All okay. the way. I'm total Cowie girl.
You're all green.
Cowie yep, girl. All Cowie.
All right, yeah. Go.
From the very beginning, been a Cowie girl.
Now, I could date myself. I had a Kawasaki Takate.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember
oh.
those?
Yeah. What? Honda Elsinore here.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
Well, at least one other Honda guy here. Table,
yeah, we got Dave. Honda and Kawasaki. Yeah.
Oh, this is, I think green team wins.
No.
Yep.
Ride red. Everybody ride red.
That's why we separated them at the opposite ends.
And us conversions in the middle, I'm leaning towards green these days.
Hey, Aaron, you're off my Christmas list.
Well, you know what? You never hooked me up last year when I asked you about it.
I said, gave the guy's name.
I said, take that neat little bike they have and put a bigger motor in it. Never happened.
See what happens. Aww. When the show goes downhill, this is what happens.
You always need a bigger engine, right?
Right? Yeah. Especially for those that have
no throttle
control.
I think Roadkill can build you that.
We need a monkey bike with a Hemi.
The monkey bike is awesome.
Yeah, we can do that.
That'd be awesome.
We need monkey bike races, yeah. man.
They're making those monkey bikes again. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
That's so cool.
They still race, actually, like at the Elsinore Grand Prix and stuff. They bring out all the vintage bikes. It's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
I've seen this neat little niche thing where they're actually ADV. They're doing adventure riding with a backpack on it like a Trail 70. Awesome. I'm so into that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm doing it.
One of the guys that our shop from back in the day, he had a collection of tacos.
Oh, yeah, the taco mini bikes.
We still get tacos.
We all had tacos. Yeah.
Mini bikes are hot.
We all had
the mini choppers, the mini bikes.
It's hard to find Briggs and Stratton engines, but that.
None of them were together. He had like a collection of parts from those things.
So how many mini bikes can you put in a trophy truck?
You know, I don't.
Probably not a lot.
It's really actually cramped in there. Yeah. Like, there's so much going on. It's funny because my navigator, Erica Sachs, so we're two girls in this truck, and we have this big old machine, and we have so much room in between us now. We're used to side-by-sides where we can basically be on top of each other, and now we're like, oh, how is it over there? Different area codes, huh?
Hey!
Now, Erica can hardly see over the table, so how does she see over the top of the truck?
So, you know, it's actually a really funny story. We just got our dash redone, and Erica's like pint-sized. She's like yay big. And she can't see over, but we use rally-style notes, so she's like, I don't even need to see. And at the last race,
Well, based on my Baja experience, I gotta ask, have you ever made anybody barf in their helmet?
Yeah, that's it.
I haven't.
No,
I haven't.
You're not driving hard enough.
Can I
she
ride
drives,
I can
she
first.
Drives for the comfort of the passenger.
Okay. Yeah. No, whatever they say, I do, you know. But
tell me about your trophy truck. What are some of the specs on that thing?
So I'm in trophy truck spec, actually. So I'm basically in an unlimited truck. So the chassis and everything is custom built from the ground up. And I have an LS3 engine in it. So,
proper.
It's pretty cool. It's the driver's class, I'd like to say, probably more than anything, because we have the same base. So I love it. It's awesome.
Are you going to do the Terry X again this year? Or the?
No, I'm not. I'm actually racing a different UTV in King of the Hammers. So we're going for King of the Hammers again, cool. And we'll be in a Polaris Razor. Yeah.
Oh, brave.
Yeah.
Polaris, God.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
And now, are you doing any road racing at all, too? Didn't I see you in a
That was my question.
Fiat?
Yes, I was in a Fiat. And, I won the Hoonigans Wanted Challenge, so they've been getting me. They always make fun of me because I call it street, but they're like, hey, we're not racing on the streets here. So, but yeah, I haven't done too much on the street, actually. I still haven't. Hoonigan, like, kind of broke me into that. And then I just went straight to Baja after that.
Yeah, there's too much grip on the street right now.
It's funny to hear somebody go, have you doing any road racing? And they go, yeah, in a Fiat.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a lot of...
Italian Miata. What do you mean?
So it's actually, I was in their 124 Spider, their rally edition car. So it's a production rally car. And this thing's a beast.
Cool,
yeah. It's really impressive.
It has stance, Dave.
Yeah.
That car's cool.
Stance.
It has stance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool, but no, I haven't done much, but I want to get a drift car.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. I think drifting's next.
There you go. See, youth, folks. Youth.
Yeah.
Drift car means P3s. Remember back in the day when we had P3s, they had no grip, so that was the first drift car.
Ah, you could drift
but
that
truck.
But
that was not on purpose.
Didn't have a handbrake either.
Yeah.
I had the Positraction Torque Twister. You never had those tires?
Yeah.
Wow.
That sounds like something you do in high school.
Raised white lettering.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yep.
So what, I mean, what's aspirationally, you know, Mario's over here. Do you want to win Indy? Do you...
You know, I like I said, I'm a dirt girl.
Yeah.
You know, so
you
I don't know.
You want to get
a lot of monster
Baja.
Trucks?
Where a lot of people went dirt and went to NASCAR. Or,
that's true.
Or
that's very
West
true.
Or, yeah.
I well,
Haley.
Right.
Haley did dirt for.
Yeah, a Haley's awesome. She's actually a friend of mine. But
go back in LA racing, everybody.
Yep. But I'm trying to. Right now, we're focused on Baja. Just the 1000s coming up, and so hopefully we can get a win there, and then.
You know, Rossi's going to drive. Baja.
Yeah, he is in the 7 class.
Yeah.
Yep.
In a Ridgeline. Thank you.
Yep. It's pretty cool what they do with that. And I saw that. It's exciting.
It's
cool.
Cool
to have some people crossing over.
I told him, don't like break your back or something. So yeah. He goes, I'm more likely to end up in jail, which I thought was pretty good.
So. No, it's pretty dangerous out there. Definitely you have to have your wits about you in Baja.
So where do you go after Baja? Are you looking at like Paris Dakar? You looking
Yep,
is that the end game right there? That's the end game?
I think the end game is Dakar.
I would go Dakar to Paris and then just hang out. That seems more cool.
Go counter track.
Yeah. Screw the race. You know, we're just going to Paris.
Yeah.
David never win a race because he'd be stopping at all the good places on the way.
New York to Paris would take me 2 years.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey.
Oh, that's awesome.
So how did you get started? I mean, there's the want and the will. I mean, how did you take it to that next step and actually get yourself on a motorcycle? And then from a motorcycle to a side-by-side, how did you always make those transitions?
I'm addicted to adrenaline, and so that always helped. But my dad started in a race car and off-road.
And that always helps.
Yep. And then I ended up on two wheels with my brother. My parents didn't know what to do with me because I had so much energy, so they just bought me a dirt bike just to go burn laps when my brother was training on his dirt bike. And so it just
He's older, right?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
he's older.
I remember the story.
And I'm just a little firecracker, I guess, and kind of fearless. And so it just one thing led to another, and I just kept escalating and climbing the ladder. And then X Games took us out, the female Super X, and then it was kind of like, okay, what do we do now? Because the sponsorship. And then I got into four wheels because I thought, you know, with age comes a cage and I don't have to get hurt so much. And this
like
really
that.
Works out.
Age comes a cage.
I like that.
I second that. Anybody else want to weigh in?
And padding. Don't forget the padding. Lots of padding.
Yep. Your neck hurts sometimes a little bit, but, you know, that's better than broken
bones. You need a lighter
bones.
Helmet. That's.
Yeah,
that's all right. My hip hurts when I get up off this stage, so it's fine. It's fine.
You
I don't
still
need
have your hips
to do it. Yeah, one of them's real, the other one's not.
Augmentation takes on a whole new meaning.
Now, David, you guys do some crazy stuff. I mean, that cliff diving thing that you did recently. Did you see Dave's from Roadkill? And did you see where they had the cars coming off the cliff?
No.
Okay, tell her all about it.
It sounds like a Mythbusters episode.
Yeah.
doesn't it?
Wait, what? You're pushing a car off a cliff? Why?
Oh, no, you don't push.
Oh, no.
No, there's no
way
pushing.
You're going to like this.
This sounds completely stupid, and when you witness it in
that's
person,
what makes it so great.
It is the greatest thing you've ever witnessed in your entire life. So, 4th of July, Glacier View, Alaska. It's light 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
And then it's only dusk for 4 hours, so they can't do fireworks. So this guy's got this piece of property with a 300-foot cliff, and he started hucking cars off the cliff for 4th of July. So like 2,000 people show up. That we get all these cars. You build them up. They literally flip the throttle return spring to hold the thing at wide open throttle, put it on a single railroad track, and these things go off a jump at the end of a cliff at about 50 miles an hour. an absolute sail. And they land on the ground and pancake and get about a foot tall. The destruction is unbelievable.
This should be a national pastime.
It tells you how stupid this is right now.
This basically is the most amazing thing I've heard.
Yeah. It's a mobile Burning Man. It's like literally, this is cool.
So this is like just when you don't want to take your car to the junkyard, you just do something cool with it.
You're done.
And it's last life.
They recycle them afterwards. They scrape them all up. And then I drove over them with a 6x6 this year. And then they flattened them and took them to the yard.
But this is when you did a monster truck, too.
Yeah, that would be great. I haven't done monster truck yet. That would be one of my life goals. Have you done that?
I haven't done monster trucks, no, but I heard just the power is insane.
Yeah.
We had a guy on a show.
Yeah.
And we had a guy on a show not that long ago, and he has the world record.
Oh, Joe.
Yeah, Joey. What's Joe
Sylvester.
Joe Sylvester. The world record of jumping a monster truck. And, you know, the huge tires, the whole thing. And Aaron and I are talking to him, go, well, how far could you have gone? And he goes, 230 feet or whatever.
It was something
over 200 feet, and we're like, in a full-size monster truck? And he goes, yeah!
Man, the landing must have been a big bounce.
Yeah, that's what I just think. Big tires, a lot of air, and it's just big
bounce. He is 2 inches shorter now, so.
Yeah. The best part was when we asked him, so must have been a lot of math involved. You figured it out. He goes, nah, I built a ramp out in this guy's field, got the guys to come to certify it, and he goes, I took a couple passes back and forth, figured out, I need to be about 85 miles an hour, and then went for it.
85?
Yeah.
I've 85. Seen them drag race monster trucks, and it is terrifying.
They're crazy.
Yeah.
On pavement, they'll do eighth mile, and those things are
walking all over the place.
When you land, you don't just bounce.
No way.
You bounce like 20 times. No, you're like, boom, boom. It's like a Super Bowl.
They have bobcats inside the tires trying to bounce.
Yeah.
What are those things got to weigh? They have roadkill. 15,000, 20,000?
I don't know that answer, but yeah.
I don't know.
But they fly like a rubber ball, just
they bounce.
I don't think they weigh that much.
It's crazy
because they're fiberglass bodies.
So I think Sarah needs to break his record.
The most
300 feet's the goal.
You know what? All the other racing, we're just going to quit that. We're going to start jumping monster trucks.
Wait,
there you go.
Monster truck off a cliff.
Yes.
This is my $1 million idea.
It won't pancake. It'll bounce over to the next. Yeah,
you're right. You know what? There's a little lake at the bottom. Maybe it would land and float.
That'd be awesome.
The longest monster truck lake crossing.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, you know, that's not far away, Dave.
Well, that is the thing. Have you seen the guys in, like, Sweden who race their jeeps across lakes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The motorbike like snowmobiles, tires. Too. You see that with snowmobiles? Yeah. They take them on water?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like a jet ski.
Have you done it? And, like, the motorcycle across the water?
No, but I almost had a stunt job where I had to, and I was excited to do
it. We could go to the Bellagio and do it right now.
Yeah, let's do that.
Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
Side by side across the Bellagio Fountain.
You can go first.
Adrenaline junkie. Remember, adrenaline junkie.
I see my friend Sierra Romo right here, and this is another badass.
Raise your hand.
TV.
Yay.
And I know she would do it.
I know it's a radio show, but we're waving. It's a podcast.
Maybe you can do one with a sidecar.
There you go.
Sidecar. I'll have one of those.
I think Freiburger's putting all this to memory. It's new roadkill episodes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, the sidecars are awesome.
Well, they sure are.
You
find yourself a roadkill guest star over there. She's going to launch stuff off of a... Launch a motorcycle off the cliff. Launch a monster truck off the cliff.
Title.
Run
title. Sarah will do it.
I think a great episode for next year is at that event to see if anyone can build a car that will survive.
That's
the
what
drive.
I was saying. I wanted to do.
That's what I said.
So
I
you literally. I didn't hear you down there at the other end.
So you try that, and then you say, wow, that one survived. Next year, I'm driving it.
No. You heard it here.
That's the deal.
You heard it here. New show on Velocity. Sarah says yes.
Yeah.
It's like, remember when you did the egg drop contest as a kid?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the automotive version of that. Launch it, drive it away.
If it'll drive away, it's cool. In the contention.
Yeah. I heard they have a good sidecar at Tao. I just wanted to throw that out there. And
what?
My beer never showed up, so I think I'll go have a sidecar.
That's the show. I guess we are in Vegas, but...
Yeah.
Sarah will do it.
Jump over his beer tap.
There you go.
We were just talking. One of my friends, she did the Hoonigan contest with me, and I was doing an interview, and I was like, okay, what's the craziest thing that you've ever seen? She goes, you've fallen off the dock on a scooter? And I was like... Oh, yeah. And they're like, good thing it was you who did that, not anyone else, because, man, like, we would have gotten hurt. And I'm like, I guess I'm kind of like this little indestructible thing.
Good for you.
Resilient. Wait, how old were you when you fell off the dock on a scooter?
25.
Okay. She's like, save the scooter! The scooter!
We used to parasail behind pickup trucks.
No way.
Lake Tahoe.
Oh, that's
scary. We pier start and beach land, and we would parasail.
Yeah, okay, I was wondering about this landing, but you just said sand beach landing.
Oh, yeah, beach land. Yeah.
Freiburg is the only one that gets paid to do that stuff.
I know,
right?
Man, I'm missing out. Tell about it.
But you had to get high because the trees are the way.
I bet you had to get high.
Well, yeah, that too.
But, yeah, Dave, we're going to get you a beer. Don't worry.
But yeah, I can't believe we did that dumbass shit.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, what's next? I mean, in your immediate future that's actually planned.
The Baja 1000 is what we're prepping for right now.
Guys, let's say I'm sorry, real quick. We're going to say goodbye to Freiburg. He's got to go to.
No, we're going
to
wind it up right now.
I got a duck. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead.
A roadkill duck?
So Baja 1000 is the next thing on the list, and we leave coming up this next week, and we're going to start pre-running.
Well, good luck on that.
Thank you.
Where can we find you online?
At Sarah Price MX on all my social handles and on my website.
Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for
having
me.
David, where can they find you online?
Oh, I am at David Freiberger on every platform, and nobody will be able to spell that, so it kind of doesn't matter.
Why don't you just put F-bomb?
Or F-bomb. I can just be F-bomb at F-bomb.com.
Or you can do roadkill.
And Matt, where can they find us on?
Guys, check us out at shiftandsteer.com. You can listen to all the podcasts there, and we're at Shift Steer Media on all of our social media. We're going to let David run right now. Go ahead and
David,
thank you so much for coming by.
It was
very
fun.
Watch Roadkill, Motor Trend On Demand, MotorTrend.com. Check out Roadkill. Check out Engine Masters and all the other shows he's going to be doing.
And an advocate for all things automotive.
Thanks, buddy.
So thank you, David.
Hey, and Matt, where can they find you online?
You can check me out. I'm at Motorator. It's just Motor, A-T-O-R, Motorator on all the social media platforms. So,
and Dave Merrick there on the end, you can find him at manseeksadventure.com or manseeksadventure on Instagram, which is the podcast he and I do where we drink beer. And where can they find you online?
The Hagar family Googles. Well, you can find me anywhere online, Aaron Hagar, Rat Runner's Garage, or, you know, whatever.
Hey, find me. I'm Brad Fanshaw.
Side of
on everything except for Instagram, where I post most of my stuff, and that's Bradley_Fanshaw. Go there, or you can always find us, like Matt said, shiftandsteer.com, and you'll get all the links to everyone who's been on the show.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Hopefully,
we'll be back tomorrow.
Having fun
appreciate
in line.
It. Thank you, Mario Andretti, or whoever's up there front.
Still Mario.
All right, guys. Thanks again to Continental. Definitely check them out at oetechnologyseries.com. And, of course, Amsoil. Go to amsoil.com/shift.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.